Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient by Bonnie Floyd, Ph.D., offers a unique perspective on coping with chronic illness, written by a clinical health psychologist who happens to have been diagnosed with multiple chronic illnesses. Insights from her dual perspectives as both doctor and patient are provided. Bonnie Floyd is a licensed clinical psychologist with a specialization in health psychology. She obtained her Ph.D. in clinical health psychology from Albert Einstein College of Medicine, Yeshiva University, Furkoff Graduate School of Psychology. Dr. Floyd has been diagnosed with multiple chronic illnesses, including MS. Dr. Bonnie Floyd, author of Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient, joining us on This Week in America. Dr. Floyd, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Looking forward to talking about this book. Let's start with the inspiration, the motivation. When did you decide this was a story you really wanted to share in book form because it's able to help so many people? How did the book idea come about?
Came about because I've often felt for many years I've had a unique perspective, a dual perspective of living with chronic illness. I have the lived experience as a patient, but also as a provider or a practitioner. I know many times healthcare providers have the knowledge base about diseases, but they don't have the personal firsthand experiences. And many times patients themselves are painfully familiar with what it's like to live with a chronic illness, but they don't have the professional credentials per se to have the same impact. And I happen to have both of those, and I wanted to share that in a book to kind of make the most mileage out of what's been a very painful period.
Well, I'm sure it has been, and being able to write the book and sharing this insight with people that are going through the pain that you are going through, and let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the most challenging symptoms of MS that you've had to encounter so far?
I think the very first time that I experienced inflammation of my optic nerve or optic neuritis, it caused a temporary but complete blindness in my right eye. And I've had that experience multiple times. It's been treated with intravenous steroids and over-the-counter steroids, or oral steroids, I should say. But losing my vision has been just indescribably traumatic. And not knowing whether or not it would return, of course, was the single most stressful aspect.
How are you doing now?
I'm doing well. I'm stable. I still have symptoms, but I'm on a very good disease-modifying medication, which is kind of is delaying the progression of disability.
With us on the program is Bonnie Floyd, Ph.D. The book is Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. When you decided to talk about your medical problems to your patients, go through that process, your thought process of doing that, and then what it was like as you were disclosing to them that you have health issues as well.
Well, overwhelmingly, most of the time, I'm very discreet, and I don't disclose my health problems, and I have the advantage of looking healthier than I am. Someone would not necessarily look at me and say, there's a woman with a major disability. I look as healthy as other people, which can be a blessing as well as a burden. But I've often shared it when there's been a clinical impasse and a patient has perhaps said, how would you possibly understand what I'm going through? You're healthy. And it's been a perfect opening, really, with that aperture to describe that I do understand it, not only academically, but experientially. And it's caused some breakthroughs with clients or patients who've been resistant.
Well, I was going
to
say,
them to see that I'm...
I was just going to say, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I would think that that would all of a sudden, it's like, well, yeah, she does know what I'm talking about. That's sort of like what that barrier comes down, I would think.
Absolutely. That's well said. Yes.
With us on the program, Bonnie Floyd, Ph.D., author of the book Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. Book's available at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, you can link on website thisweekinamerica.us and get all of the important information and be able to order the book as well. What would you say is the single most important resource that has helped you sort of adjust to living with multiple chronic illnesses? What resources have been beneficial for you?
Well, without question, by far, the number one has been my faith in God. I believe that all things happen for a reason and that they can work together for good, even if they're not good in and of themselves as a Christian. So it's been my faith in God. It's been the support of my family and friends as well. A lot of online support from discussion groups and forums dedicated to chronic illness has also been critically important.
What has this been like as a doctor? This certainly has made you, I would assume, a better doctor. Talk about the impact it's had on you professionally in dealing with patients on a daily basis.
I think I'm much more sensitive and acutely aware of what it's like to have that lived experience of not just having a diagnosis, but how it changes your life, turns it upside down and inside out. It's far more than just academic or a knowledge base that I have as a result of an advanced degree. I understand intimately what it's like to live with the uncertainties of chronic illness, with all the question marks of how am I going to be able to do what I'm going to do, and if not, how can I reinvent myself and still have a sufficient quality of life?
Talk about the question marks. That's interesting because there was an initial misdiagnosis. You hear one thing, then you hear something else. You've got to, at that point, be thoroughly confused, frustrated, depressed, possibly at the system, how this is playing out. Talk about that, the question marks, when you're not quite sure exactly what the problems are.
Well, in 1993, I was diagnosed with relapsing remitting MS. And in 1995, I was told it was a misdiagnosis. I felt like I had won the lottery to have escaped something that's potentially so disabling and destructive. And then fast forward 3 years later, I was definitively diagnosed with MS. So it was certainly a very profound roller coaster to have a diagnosis, a misdiagnosis, and then reestablishment of the diagnosis definitively.
Well, and there was another issue there. Talk about that when you're dealing with medical specialists and they have misdiagnosed there. And I think they had you with asthma, and that was misdiagnosed.
Yes, for the past 14 years, I've dealt with a very rare airway condition called a subglottic stenosis. It causes life-threatening airway narrowing and inflammation. It was misdiagnosed as asthma, and I was treated as having very aggressive, severe asthma for many years. So I did think that I lost some important treatment options and valuable time in addressing this condition at an earlier, more treatable point by having been misdiagnosed.
Bonnie Floyd, PhD, our guest on the program. Her book is Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. Let's look at the real issue. A real issue here is finances. Talk about the financial implications of developing a chronic illness. And I'm sure it's something that you see as you're dealing with your patients who are scared to death. How are they going to be able to afford medication to try to arrest the condition they have? What is it? Talk about the financial implications, because that has to take an emotional toll on you and all the people.
They've certainly been profound. The disease-modifying medication I take now for MS, out-of-pocket cost is more than $88,000 per year.
Wow.
Just obviously astronomical, and who can really afford that? Not many of us. So I'm thankful to have grant support for that, but it's really on a month-to-month basis, knowing whether or not I can continue to take an important medication that's going to slow down the progression of what can be a very devastating neurological disorder. I also was awarded disability benefits in 2016, full disability, which was a mere fraction of what my earning capacity would be as a health psychologist at this point in my career. Since that point in time, I returned to work part-time, but my earnings exceeded what the substantial gainful amount was that I was allowed to earn and still retain benefits. So now my disability benefits have been revoked while still working just part-time. It's Yes. been extraordinarily difficult financially.
And when you deal with patients that are going through what you're going through and not able to afford, whether it's out of pocket or whether it's insurance, it's not going to cover everything. What's it like in dealing with them? I mean, I could almost think you would see the fear in their eyes. They don't know what they're going to do. They need this, but they can't afford it.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't help if there are remarkable FDA-approved medications that show efficacy with controlled clinical trials if you're not able to afford them or have access to them. So I think there's an enormous degree of frustration about that, considerable anxiety as well.
Bonnie Floyd, our guest on the program, Dr. Bonnie Floyd, author of Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on to get more information and to order the book. As you're dealing with a medical specialist, talk about being able to use your background, your medical background, your academic training. How does that make you sort of a better consumer and maybe even getting to some resolutions quicker because you know the pathway there, you know how to handle the situation?
It's like speaking more with a colleague rather than a yes. more traditional doctor-patient relationship. I think I have the knowledge base to understand terminology, procedures, diagnosis more easily than many other patients, even though patients are increasingly more self-educated about their diagnoses and do a lot of research to find out more about their conditions.
I know that you're dealing with autoimmune disorders. Talk about the possibility, the development of additional ones, and how you deal with that.
Well, I've hit the trifecta of autoimmune pathophysiology, if you will. I have three autoimmune disorders. I have relapsing remitting MS. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune form of hypothyroidism. And then the subglottic stenosis to which I referred is also considered to be autoimmune in pathophysiology. It's well known that once someone does have an autoimmune disorder, he or she is likely to develop a secondary one, tertiary one, so on and so forth. Which it becomes staggeringly complex because each of them require distinct medical subdisciplines, unique treatment regimens, medication protocols, et cetera.
Talk about the coping skills. How do you live with long-term medical conditions that really, at this point at least, can't be cured? Coping skills, and I'm sure this is something you talk a lot about with and have over the years with your patients. How do you develop the coping skills to be able to handle this on a daily basis?
There's such a devastating degree of loss that takes place in the journey of someone who has chronic illness or multiple chronic illnesses that I think it's very easy, at least initially, to focus upon what has been lost in your life as opposed to what remains or what is left. And I've worked very hard to cultivate an attitude of being grateful for the remaining abilities and skills that I have. That's been probably one of the most important coping strategies, to be thankful and appreciative of things that ordinarily I took for granted, that had been temporarily at times taken away.
When you decided to write the book, Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient, how difficult was it, the actual writing process, to go through, relive all of these moments so you could effectively tell the story and at the same time sort of expose yourself, open yourself to other people. What was this writing process like for you in telling your story?
It was agonizing to a certain degree because I knew that by quote-unquote outing myself, I really couldn't go back by having disclosed things that were intensely personal, private, and at times excruciatingly painful. I write about having struggled with depression, for example, and some people may or may not view me differently as a licensed clinical psychologist, knowing that I was very open and candid and frank about my own personal struggles with depression. Thankfully, writing comes easily to me. I enjoy doing it, but I definitely did relive some extremely painful moments in my life as I transformed my blog on WordPress into book form.
Well, and it was so important because it's touched so many people and giving them answers, hope as they go, some guidance as they go through similar situations. What do you hope the takeaway is? Someone reads the book, Remarkable Journey. What do you hope the takeaway is for the reader?
I hope if there's someone who personally has a chronic illness that their journey feels validated, that they have a sense of not being isolated or alone in the multitude of challenges with which they're presented. I hope they feel inspired that someone else who maybe had a Herculean effort to adjust a chronic illness was able to do that in time, and then consequently they would be able to do the same.
we go through as a nation this struggle, and it's an election year, so we'll go through this again of how we're going to provide health care, who's going to pay for it, who's going to get it, that whole thing. You're sort of on the front line of that. As people come into you, they have health issues, and that's, as we talked about it, a big part is the financial part. Talk a little bit about, I don't necessarily say the devastation, but what someone goes through when they're faced with these problems. And there's a cost that comes with it. It's not just dealing with it physically. It's the emotional trauma that you go through. How difficult is that for a patient to, you know, it's one thing to do what they need to do to try to physically heal, but then they have to worry about how this is going to happen, who's going to sue, if a hospital is going to see them. That has to take its toll on patients, I would think.
Absolutely. I've had staggering medical expenses even when I was working full-time and had premium blue chip health insurance. I received a series of rituximab infusions, a chemotherapy infusion in 2014, the total cost of which was $96,000. I've had just, you know, staggering astronomical medical expenses that I'm still in the process of paying off on budget plans as a doctor.
It's Dr. Bonnie.
So, I mean, it's been an additional stressor, which I think at times is definitely exacerbated the severity of some of my symptoms.
Well, I was going to say that emotionally can't help you any, can it? Trying to build up enough strength to get through some of the situations that you're facing.
Certainly. And again, it's not just people without insurance. Those who have insurance can still have staggering medical expenses when you're dealing with one or more chronic conditions that all require a comprehensive treatment approach.
Sort of lulled into thinking, I've got insurance, I'm okay. And then suddenly you realize there are all of these extra expenses and you have insurance, but it's still going to cost you, literally can cost you thousands and thousands of dollars as you go through the process. Mentioned that there
Absolutely.
Are no cures at this point for the issues that you're going through. Is there research out there? Are you hopeful that something will happen at some point very soon?
I feel very hopeful. I mean, if anyone is newly diagnosed with MS, this is a time where there's been groundbreaking research. And one of the recent conferences I recently attended actually used the word cure as a not so remote possibility. I think in time there will be opportunities for regeneration of demyelinated areas in the brain that have been ravaged due to multiple sclerosis. I think there's a ever-increasing research about autoimmune disorders. Some of it is not funded as extensively because they are relatively more rare. They don't affect huge numbers of the population, so that's an ongoing issue. But I feel optimistic that there will be a cure, and there certainly are multiple disease-modifying medications for MS. The year I was diagnosed, there was only one. Now there's close to a dozen.
Is it uncommon to be diagnosed with multiple chronic illnesses? Does that happen frequently?
I think it's more frequent if they're autoimmune in disorder,
okay,
in pathophysiology or in the basis. Seems like once there's a breakdown in autoimmune functioning, you're more likely to be vulnerable to, as I said before, a secondary or even a tertiary autoimmune disorder. And just as we age, we're more likely to develop chronic illness, and with that, multiple chronic illnesses.
With your background specialization in health psychology, what interested you in that facet of psychology that became your area of focus?
Well, originally I planned to become a physician rather than a psychologist, but with the intersection of developing quite serious medical problems in my own life, I decided that a program in clinical health psychology would be a better match.
Talk about the role of psychology in overall health, not just mental health, but how important is the right frame of mind to physically getting better?
I think it makes a profound difference. Whether or not someone is dealing with anxiety or depression is going to affect how well they take care of themselves, how compliant they are, how non-compliant they are. If they don't have a basic sense of self-esteem and value themselves, they're not going to take as good of care of themselves. So sometimes that's reflected in depression, where people become non-adherent to treatment regimens. They fail to take care of sleeping adequately, exercising regularly, watching their diet. all of those things are as important, if not more important, than the periodic checkups that you have with any medical specialist or subspecialist.
How do you,
in terms of your overall level of health?
Yes, and I that's a fascinating area of expertise that you have. How do you deal with patients who come to you who really don't want to go forward maybe with the exams and that they need either financially or they just don't want to know what's happening because they fear for the future? How do you deal with that? Sometimes people think something's wrong, but they really don't want to hear that diagnosis.
Absolutely. I always try to educate them that knowledge is power, that whether or not you have the test, whatever constellation of symptoms is already there, but knowing about it gives you the best arsenal for how to address those symptoms, how to maybe attenuate their severity or prevent a progression.
How important has it been for you to be back practicing again and getting in the room and seeing patients in that interaction? How important has that been for you to be able to resume this?
It was a real renaissance on many levels. I had missed it terribly. There was a certain degree of my identity that was very much wrapped up into being a clinical health psychologist. And when I applied for disability and stopped working completely, I really fell into a period of quite severe depression. I felt like I'd spent decades of my life obtaining an advanced degree that I wasn't able to use in the way I had originally intended to do so. So being able to go back to work even part-time has been enormously rewarding and satisfying to me to use those skills again and to allow other people to benefit from what in and of itself would have been just a very painful experience of being seriously ill.
Dr. Floyd's book is Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. A minute or so left in the program. What has this been like writing this book? We talked a little bit about bringing back the past and dealing with it and then exposing that, sharing those stories. And do you have any, the blog you mentioned, are you continuing to write? Will there be another book from you?
I do continue to write my Doctor as Patient blog via WordPress. It's been read internationally, which has been very gratifying to me. I've had feedback and comments from people who've read it around the world, literally. So I do continue to write about those dual identities that I have as a practitioner as well as a patient. And possibly I will write an additional book. It's certainly been interesting to see the increased health focus and awareness with the COVID-19 pandemic with which we're all dealing.
Yes.
People are just much more focused on health matters in general.
Well, the book is touching a lot of people. The book's available in Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, you can link on, get information, and order the book. The book is Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient by our guest on the program, Dr. Bonnie Floyd. Dr. Floyd, thank you for sharing the story with us on the program. Congratulations on the success of the book, the job that you're doing in helping other people go through what you are going through. Best of health in the future, and thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Enormously grateful. Thank you.
It is our pleasure. Dr. Bonnie Floyd, author of Remarkable Journey, My Dual Perspectives as Doctor and Patient. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.